and rape, really one of the worst crimes a person can commit. But what should happen to a convicted rapist after they've served their sentence? It's a question which has hit the headlines. Professional footballer Ched Evans was jailed for 5 years for rape in 2012. The Wales striker is due to be released early this month, but should he be allowed to play football again? Yesterday, Professional Footballers Association chief Gordon Taylor said yes, he should.
Well, as a trade union, I believe in the rule of law. I didn't know there was a law that said once you come out of prison, you still can't do anything. Besides that, he wants to contribute to society. If he earns money, he'll pay taxes. Those taxes will go to help people who maybe can't get a job.
So the question we're asking this morning is, should a professional footballer convicted of rape be allowed to play football again? You can text 81771 or call 08459 555 678 and also tweet at Stephen Nolan. On the line this morning, commentator Mike Parry. Hello.
Yeah, good morning to you.
And Luke Gitos, who's a solicitor and legal editor for Spiked Online. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi.
To you first, Mike Parry. What's your view? Would you agree then with Gordon Taylor?
No, I don't actually. I agree with Gordon Taylor on most things. I think Gordon is a great figurehead for professional footballers and conducted himself magnificently over a couple of decades now, and the right man to lead that profession. But I wholly disagree with him on this one. Now, if you say to me, well, hang on, I heard what Gordon said. He said, I didn't realise there was a law against it. There is no law against it, of course. Anybody who's been convicted of rape, gone to jail, served the sentence and come out, should be allowed to try and rebuild their lives and start again, particularly a young man with a talent. But I'm sorry, from a moral point of view, and that's the only thing I'm looking at, it's wrong to allow a man convicted of rape to play in a game as public as football, which draws on public support, total public support, including one-third of spectators these days being women. Not that that should matter, because in my view, a man should be as repulsed by this crime as a woman is. And frankly, I can't see anybody in their right mind going onto a football ground and being asked to cheer on a footballer convicted of rape who's playing in a team with their colours in it. I wouldn't, if it happened to me with my team, I wouldn't go to the game. I'd make my own personal protest and say it's not right. I don't care about the law, and the law says the man can play if you like, but common decency says that it should not happen.
Is it just the crime, Mike Parry, of rape, or are there other crimes that should really provoke a similar reaction?
Well, they should, and I think I know what you're talking about here. There's two other very public cases which I know of. We've all been in this business a long time. There was the case, of course, of Lee Hughes. Lee Hughes, probably the most famous one. He was convicted of being in his car under the influence of drugs and drink, ended up in a crash which resulted in death and terribly serious injury. And then, of course, there was the case of the former goalkeeper for Plymouth, a guy called Luke McCormick. He killed two children while he was driving in a very intoxicated state. He was jailed for 7 years, but he went back to playing football. That, to my mind, was absolutely wrong in the case of Luke McCormick. In the case of Lee Hughes, I think it was wrong, but Lee Hughes was very, very remorseful about what happened. And in the end, I forgave Lee Hughes. I can't forgive Luke McCormick taking the lives of two young children. And the crime of rape, to my mind, is so bad. I don't think I can forgive Ched Evans.
What about the case of Duncan Ferguson, Mike Parry?
I'm sorry?
The case of Duncan Ferguson?
Well, Duncan Ferguson, of course, is attached to Everton, which is my club. He's on the coaching staff there, but he played there. Duncan Ferguson is a very, very grey case. There's nothing clear about it. Duncan Ferguson went to jail for an offence that was committed on the field of play during the course of a game. He was reported by a member of the public who happened to be an off-duty policeman who was watching the game. And from that, in my view, a ridiculous prosecution took place with Duncan Ferguson ending up in jail. That was not a clear-cut case of an horrendous infringement of the law, which rape is, and which driving under the influence and taking the lives of young children also comes under that category. What Duncan Ferguson did doesn't come under that category at all.
Luke Gitos, 60,000 people have signed this petition against Ched Evans returning to play football. Do you think they're right?
Well, look, Mike is free to make his own personal protest if he wishes. And of course, rape is a very, very serious crime, and Ched Evans has paid a very serious price for that crime. But my concern is that we lose touch with the idea of redemption, the idea that people can be personally redeemed. I think that the point of a prison sentence is that someone is given the space not just to be removed from society and prevented from committing any further crimes, but also to attempt in some way to come to terms with what they've done. And I think once someone is out of that environment, they should have the right to return to as normal world as possible. Now, of course, as I said, Mike and the rest of the fans have the right to boycott the club if they want. But I think that loses touch with the possibility that Ched Evans might have redeemed himself. Now,
I suppose the issue is that Luke Gatos isn't returning, or excuse me, that Ched Evans isn't returning to a normal world. He is returning to this world that depends on fans, depends on ticket sales, and also is a world that most people would envy.
Well, that's his world, isn't it? He knows no other world. He is a professional footballer, and like him or not, he's worked extremely hard to be there. So I think he must have the right to try in as best way as possible to make his way in the world that he's established for himself. Now, of course, he's going to face difficulties from his fans. You can hear from Mike that he's going to end up boycotting the game. Other fans might choose to do the same thing. I'm pretty confident that most fans won't do that, and they will give him a chance to bring himself back into the world that they both mutually inhabit. And I think that's really important. And I think once we start taking a moral stance about particular cases, whether it be rape, whether it be murder, once we start saying, well, I can forgive him for this, but I can't possibly forgive him for that, we as a society lose touch of what is quite an important human quality, which is the ability to allow people the space to redeem themselves, no matter what they've done. I think that's an important human trait and one we should hold on to.
Realistic, though, is it? You've got sponsorship, big corporations involved. Is anybody going to actually want to be associated with the club that he plays for?
Well, look, Mike didn't go so far as to say that Ched should be actively prevented from playing football. Some people have actually gone that far. They've said that Evans should be prevented on coming out of prison from playing football for any club whatsoever. And that's extremely dangerous because that's effectively creating a new punishment for people after they've been released. I simply think that once you get into that territory, you're in really draconian waters and you are effectively casting someone in a particular role for the rest of their lives. I don't think Mike's arguing that, but people who have been engaged in this discussion certainly have been doing so. And I think the other danger is really that we start to treat rape as some utterly separate, egregious criminal offence. It's an appalling offence. It attracts very high sentences. But it shouldn't necessarily be viewed in any wildly separate character from other criminal offences. I'm not sure why that should be the case.
I don't agree with that, actually, Luke.
I know you don't agree with it. The point is that you said there's a moral position about this. I mean, there should be a moral position about all criminal offences. There should be a moral position about murder. There should be a moral position about burglary. I mean, all criminal offences are ranked in terms of seriousness when it comes to punishment. I don't see why we should have this particular reaction to this particular individual, particularly as he has served his time, particularly as now he is back, willing to contribute, willing to demonstrate that he has redeemed himself. I don't see why we should take this approach to him, which is, well, once you've done this particular offence, you can never possibly be forgiven. I think that's inhumane, I think it's unjust, and I think it undermines the rule of law.
Mike Parry?
Yeah, well, I tell you what, if a guy was done for bank robbery and he came out and then got a job in a bank, that would be similar to this situation, because we all know that one of the issues with football is the amount of attention footballers get. They are attracted to young girls. Young girls go around footballers like flies around a jam pot.
Well, I actually have a higher view of young women than flies around a jam pot.
I'm not calling them flies around a jam pot. What I'm saying is, young girls are absolutely overwhelmed by footballers. You see it every Friday and Saturday night in every major city. Girls are out there, and if they bump into a footballer, their night is made. And for that reason, it's doubly dangerous to allow a man who's got a conviction like this to go back into that environment. And also, April 2012, he was jailed. We're not even into 2015 yet, and he's suddenly maybe free on the street again after an horrendous crime. And, I mean, does that mean then that we actually say to ourselves, well, look, you know, dismiss it. A couple of years in jail, 3 years in jail for an horrendous offence like this.
But surely, Mike Parry, that's not the issue. That is up to the courts, that's up to the judiciary. They have sentenced him and he has served his sentence.
I agree, but at the same time, the people running the football club can make their own moral judgment on it. And that's why if the chairman of my football club said, we're going to take a bloke back who's been convicted of rape, that's it. I would cut my ties with the club until the man was cast out.
Well, look, that's your personal that's Mike's personal decision. But what I don't follow is this idea that young women abandon their judgment and swoon around footballers as soon as they're back out on the street. What a ludicrious position to take.
But they do. Unless you're walking around, you know, with blinkered eyes, you know that young girls are attracted to footballers.
Nonsense. Ched Evans is going to have to work extremely hard to win back the respect of his peers. That includes young women. That includes young men. I do not suggest for a moment that he's going to walk. I find it ludicrous that you would suggest that Ched Evans is going to come out and find himself at the centre of everyone's affections once again. And I think that actually shows a real contempt for the judgment of the footballing fans that you claim to represent. The fact is that
footballing fans feel like me. We know that from the petition that's been drawn up.
What you're saying, basically, is that, I mean, and what this is a common theme amongst people who have been arguing around this issue, is that the moment that Ched Evans comes back onto the pitch, the fact that he is playing football is somehow going to elevate him once again to a kind of godlike status among everyone in the football community. It's nonsense. He's going to have to
It's not nonsense. Footballers are held in reverence in our society because they get paid tremendous amounts of money. It's glamorous. They're on television. They're elevated people.
You must know from the other situations in which footballers have committed serious crimes, they've had to work extremely hard to win back the respect of their peers. As you've just said, Luke McCormick hasn't entirely reached that point yet. There are still people out there that hold these convictions against him. Ched Evans is going to have to go through the same process. To say that he's going to come out and immediately be at the centre of everyone's affections is ludicrous. It undermines the judgment of football supporters. I'm a football supporter. If someone in my club was convicted of a serious offence, they'd have to work hard to convince me that they had been redeemed and that they had come to terms with what they've done.
But Luke Gittos, in other walks of life, whether it's broadcasting, politics, what have you, that sort of a conviction, that would end your career. You would not work again.
Well, actually, I mean, obviously, there are certain professions where absolutely, for example, if you're convicted of a dishonesty offence and you apply for a job where you have to, your honesty is a central tenet of that profession, then arguably, you know, an employer has the right to say, well, look, we don't want to employ you in this organisation. What's being talked about here is completely different. I don't see the connection between what is effectively being suggested is that footballers, because they attract the attention of women, should be.
But it's not just footballers, and to be honest, that's kind of a bit of a red herring. It's anything in the public eye. If you are convicted of a serious sexual violent offence while you're in the public eye, it does tend to end your career. Why should Ched Evans be any different?
This is the worst. Actually, you've hit on the worst aspect of this argument, because what a lot of people want to do is use Ched Evans and other individuals convicted of similar things to effectively send a message about how serious this offence is. I think that's extremely dangerous. Once people are back in society, they are citizens. They are citizens of the country, and we should not hold them up as some kind of moral yardstick about which we used to think about criminal offences. I think once we start doing that, we enter into extremely draconian waters. We lose touch with our humanity. We lose touch with the idea that people can be redeemed. And I don't think people should be used in that way.
Yeah, Luke, some people can be redeemed, and my friend Joey Barton is a perfect example, right? He went to jail. That was for physical violence, and he was rightly jailed. He accepts that. He's now actually a model professional, doing great work in the community and helping younger players. But to my mind, violence, physical violence, which, let's face it, is an inherent part of football anyway, in many, many cases, is a million miles away from a rape conviction. What happens to this player when he gets to a club that's got an active women's team? Is he going to be asked to work in the same environment as them?
Listen to what you're saying. What you're saying is that Ched Evans simply won't be able to stop himself raping a women's football team.
I'm going to say I wouldn't take the chance. I wouldn't take the chance on allowing him.
Why let Joey Barton back in an all-male dressing room if we can't stop him, you know, knocking someone out or attacking the referee? What you're talking about is exactly...
I'll tell you why, because there is an acceptance of physical... physical integration between footballers, and it goes over the top. It went over the top with Joey Barton, and he's paid the price for it. But rape is on a different level. Rape is, you know, the most serious offence after murder in the human catalogue of crimes. And I'm sorry, I can't accept it.
Where do you draw the line, Mike Parry? What is an acceptable criminal offence to you to allow somebody back into a football team?
You can't answer that question. That's an impossible question to answer. If you're saying to me, well, look, I tell you what, where would you put bank robbery? Where would you put embezzlement? Where would you, you know, where would you put this crime and that? Each case has got to be taken on its individual merits. And if we read the papers relating to this case And there was no, you know, there's no hesitancy in the way that that Chet Evans was convicted. It's a very serious offence, very long sentence, really. He's only going to be serving, what, just over half of it if he comes out when we think he's in a couple of months' time. Then I'm sorry, but as far as I am concerned, he has ruled himself out from being treated as an altogether civilised human being to be put in an environment where there are no safeguards. There have to be safeguards for, in my mind, for men convicted of this offence.
Look, Eitos, is that just essentially what it boils down to? What Mike Parry's saying there is each case is taken on its individual merits, and already 60,000 people have signed a petition to say that in this case he shouldn't be allowed to return to play football.
Well, the point is, what do you do with that? How do you prevent him from playing football? Do you prevent him playing football for that club? Do you prevent him playing? I think the petition was about him playing for his country. Do you prevent him playing for his country in virtue of those signatures? The fact is that people are entitled to, express their outrage, and that's exactly what Mike's doing. He's basically expressing his own moral outrage at the offence of rape. Fine, people are free to do that. They can do that till the cows come home. My point is that what impact should it actually have on the individual who served their sentence? My argument is none. That's as straightforward as I can be. People are absolutely free.
I don't think you can say none. I just don't know how you can say none.
Okay, Mike, let me phrase it in another way.
You're saying that he should walk back into society.
Okay, Luke Eitos,
and be treated the same as everybody else. That's impossible.
Mike Parry, can you just let Luke Eitos finish his point there? Go ahead.
Sure. I've got a very quick question for Mike. What would you actually like the courts or anyone else to do about Chet Evans playing football again? What would you actually like to happen to him now?
I don't think the courts can do anything. I'm not asking them to. I'm asking the people who are potential employers of Chet Evans not to employ him on a moral basis. On the moral basis that he has disgraced football, that he's disgraced himself, that he's actually committed a crime, which in my view is unforgivable.
So you're saying that all football managers should prevent him from playing football ever again?
I personally would like every football manager to say, I don't want him on my books. Now, there are going to be football managers who will actually, and I don't know why actually, because Chet Evans is no Ronaldo. He's no Wayne Rooney. There are other players who can put in your team which can do a similar job. So you don't really need him. So I don't understand why any club would take a chance of sullying their own moral code by taking him on.
Well, the point is that football clubs take on people who have shady pasts, who have done awful things. They take them back on their books because they are, at the end of the day, decent footballers.
Okay.
Ed Evans is a decent footballer, and that's what should matter.
Gentlemen, I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you very much for joining us.